Beautifully done. Thank you. I will read our gospel reading in German. I've been that inspired. No, I can't do that. I can't do that. Before I begin our reading in Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29, my sermon was originally titled, It's Well With My Soul, and they're leaning heavily on the life story of Horatio Spafford, the writer of the hymn, It Is Well With My Soul. I wasn't thinking of including that. But as I got late in the week, in fact, late yesterday, I've decided I need to go in a different direction driven by the message in our text. It's a gruesome text. In the gruesomeness, I want to focus on a rashly given promise by King Herod and compare that with what we do with our promises. Where earlier this week I promised Debbie that I would be preaching, It Is Well With My Soul, and we planned music around that. I'm breaking that promise in order to focus on promises and the rash promise that Herod gives in this passage and what we do with our promises made, rashly or otherwise. So let's begin with Mark chapter 6, verse 14 through 29. King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said about Jesus, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet like the one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, and knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, he protected him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his stepdaughter, Herodias, came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, ask of me whatever you wish, I will give it. And he solemnly swore to you, whatever you ask of me, I will give it to you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and spoke to her mother, what should I ask for? And she replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for his guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought John's head on a platter and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about it, they came and took John's body and laid it in a tomb. This is the word of the Lord. This difficult passage reminds us that though even today we are appalled at the treatment of others and separating their head from their body, it's not a new practice. It's still as gruesome as it ever was, whatever the reason for the beheading. And in the midst of this beheading, John and his ministry as a baptizer and one calling others to repentance and turning back to God, his ministry ending, there are lessons from this passage that doesn't glance away from difficult subjects, doesn't glance away from the gruesomeness of how people may treat people. I want to focus today on promises, even rash promises, promises made even with good intention, and even those promises that are well made and yet they're broken. Because our text begins with a rash promise, let me begin there. Have you ever made a rash promise? One that just came out too quickly, wish you'd thought about it a little longer, and even wished you could take it back? Have you ever said something on impulse that as soon as those words are out of your mouth, you knew you'd made a big mistake? I'll give you $5 for every A on your report card. And when that motivated child went to work and brought home a report card with straight A's, Dad had to rethink what he'd promised. That can add up to a lot of money. Rash promises. We've made them, haven't we? They've gotten out there, and then we say, oh, what was I thinking? Ouch. For this situation, King Herod was no exception. And here, in the midst of him throwing a big party to celebrate his own birthday, inviting all his dignitaries, his friends, his buddies, high officials, military commanders, all the leaders in Galilee are gathered there. At the height of the celebration, stepdaughter makes her entrance. Notice that her name is not even given here. The stepdaughter makes her entrance. She came in to dance, and her dancing so pleased King Herod and all the dinner guests that he begins to boast and say, whatever you want. Whatever you want, even to half of my kingdom, I will give it to you. Imagine those friends gathered around him, those other leaders, applauding that, going, oh, great, this will be fun. And this rash promise he gives, what could a young woman like his stepdaughter possibly want for him? A new wardrobe? He could grant that. Maybe precious jewels? Well, he could get those. Maybe a new sports chariot, you know, with twice pipes down the side, little chrome rims. Ooh, sweet. He could do that. He wasn't worried what she would ask. She didn't know what to ask until she went and talked to her mother. And her mother had a plan to get rid of a man that she did not like. Go back and tell Herod to give you the head of John the Baptist. She comes back and does that. In front of the guests, of course. He is bound by his oath. He had to send a soldier to the prison to take action on the very request that he promised he would fulfill. What do you do when you make a rash promise and find yourself over your head in trying to honor that promise? The next time you're at a Kiwanis auction and you gladly, boastfully bid $100 for that Italian cream cake, and then when you go to pay for it at the end of the evening, reach in where a $100 bill used to be, and all you've got in cash is a 20. What do you do when you cannot fulfill the promise you've made? Remember this, when we give promises, even rash promises, and have a struggle fulfilling them, remember that God loves you and me. God knows you and me through and through. And that's what really matters, whether we can follow through and fulfill our promises or not. With rash promises, perhaps there's a lesson in we need to think more carefully before speaking. We need to promise less before we promise more that we cannot come up with. Maybe there's the lesson in rash promises. But not every promise is made rashly. There's some promises we make that we fully intend to come through. We'll do all we can to make up what we have said we will do. In the case of Herod and him fulfilling this rash promise that he has made, he's handicapped. He can't renege on this because, well, he'll lose face in front of all of his friends, and in the city he lives in, his word will be worthless. A lesson for Herod is, the bigger your pride, the harder it is to swallow humble pie when you're served a slice. But what about broken promises? When you've given a promise and you end up breaking it, can you expect to be forgiven, even though you've given your word and won't keep it? I believe so. When we are thinking of God's grace extended to us, God's grace is sufficient to cover anything we do. For us Protestants, we have the cross, and I'm looking for an image of the cross. Yes, here on the front is a cross. That cross is empty. For those of Catholic faith, their cross still has Jesus hanging there to remind them that Jesus is dying today for the sins we commit today. A way of reminding us in present tense that God's grace covers us. Even when we promise and fail to fulfill that promise, God's grace is sufficient for us to cover us and forgive us just the same. But when we give a promise, it is serious business. It is important that we do all we can to live up to that. But we know that we often fall short of what we promise and often fall short of God's grace in our lives. Here are some real life examples. A young woman applies for a prestigious position. She submits her resume, is subjected to a lengthy vetting and search process, checking her out, goes through several interviews, and then is selected over other candidates for this position. By the time she starts her new job, the employer has invested a good deal of time and money in her, checking her out, and even training her for the new position. On several occasions, the question of longevity comes up, and each time she makes it clear, I'm looking for a long-term relationship. And yet, within the first 3 months, she realizes that she'd made a big mistake. This is not the job for her. She can do it all right, but it's not fulfilling, and it never will be. What are her choices? To stay the course might be a devastation to her. She'd die on the vine in the midst of doing this job. But to quit early in the game will be a big disappointment, both to her and to those who employed her. Another real life example. A young man goes off to college. All his life, he's aspired to be a lawyer just like his father. Son, the father has said, get your degree. Go to law school and pass the board, and there will be a place for you in my firm. So off he goes to get his education. But wouldn't you know it, he takes that one class that suddenly the lights go on for him, and he says, in psychology, I would rather be a psychologist than a lawyer. He wants to do social work, not legal work. And yet he's at odds with himself because he knows it will break his father's heart. Besides, he also promised his dad he would pursue a law degree. Can he responsibly go back on his word and break his promise? Another real life example. A young couple meet at summer camp. Two young teenagers, they fall in love, they grow up, get married. And everyone says, you are a perfect match. And in many ways, they are. But after years of trying to build a strong marriage, they find themselves drifting and drifting further and further apart. They seek counselors and the help that those counselors can bring. And try as they may, the two never quite come back to become one. Yeah, they get along okay. It's not as if they fight all the time. And actually, they're quite considerate and civil to each other in their interactions. You could say that they are good friends. But what they lack is that loving intimacy that comes and seals a marriage. She feels it, and he feels it too. Yet no matter how hard they try, it just doesn't happen. When they got married, they took a vow, until death do us part. So what now? What do they do now? Gut it out until the grave? That's not what a healthy marriage and a healthy relationship is all about. But then neither is divorce. These are three examples, real life examples that many of us have lived. Given promises and faced with realities and not lived up to those promises. Whether it's a rash promise, whether it's a very thought out promise, with all the best intentions to live it out, it may become impossible to keep it. When it comes to making promises, friends, we fail. We miss the mark. We make rash promises we regret. We make promises with every good intentions that we can't keep, and promises that in the end, that turn out to be broken promises we can't do much about. And so I urge you and I, in this ever-changing and challenging world we live in, trust first in our God. And may God's grace give you and I the strength to make promises both that we can keep and also the strength to keep the promises that you and I have made. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Will you sing with me from hymn number 840? Let's sing together, When Peace Like a River.
That Christ has